fourth week of, we've been looking at the life of Jonah in a sermon series called Crossing Borders. And we've talked about how we serve this missional or this sending God who has commissioned us. There's a reason why Pastor Zeph is up in Ocala today, because God has called us to make disciples of all nations, of all people groups. And we've discovered, at least I've discovered it, maybe some of you have discovered this as well, that there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. There's a little bit of reluctance. And last week we looked at chapter 3, and we see that our reluctant prophet has repented, and along with him, this entire city of Nineveh joins in, this wicked city, and they repent and they get right with God. Now, if I were Jonah and I were writing the book of Jonah, I would have ended the book right there in chapter 3. It's a great story, right? Jonah rebels, he runs from God, he repents. And in this repentant state, he preaches, and these other people repent, and that's a great story. And maybe Jonah wrote 3 chapters when he first did it, and God just said, one more chapter, Jonah. We need chapter 4. I would have rolled the credits already, but we get to chapter 4, and here's why I would have been reluctant to write it. It's embarrassing. I mean, if you read chapter 4, you go, what happened here? This is weird. This is embarrassing. It's embarrassing for Jonah. It's embarrassing for me, because if I say there's a bit of Jonah in me, then I look at chapter 4 and go, okay, I have to wrestle with this. Am I still like Jonah? You'll see what I'm talking about here in a little bit. So the entire city repents. And wicked, evil city. They repent. They got sackcloth and ashes, and they're getting right with God. And here's how chapter 4 opens. Chapter 4, verse 1 of Jonah. Jonah 4:1, it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry." It doesn't track, right? I mean, good story. You're ready for the credits to roll. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Something's wrong. Something's going on here. So he's going to go pray to the Lord. It says, and he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." And he's going to come up with a solution. He says, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" And Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. I think he's sitting there going, maybe God will change his mind again, and I've got a front row seat here. And it says, and he sat under in the shade until he could see what would become of the city. And now the Lord appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that he might have shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. He's got some emotional things going on here. Verse 7 says, "But when the dawn came of the next day, God appointed a worm to attack that attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.' But God said to Jonah, 'Do you do well to be angry for that plant?'" Apparently Jonah doesn't think long on this one. He says, And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? So Jonah's got two prayers in the book, and the first prayer is basically, God, please save me, help. All right? Maybe some of you have thrown up some of those prayers before. You know, please save me. Yes. And that's just this morning. And then his second prayer is, God, all I want is to die. I can't believe you showed them grace. You let them live. If you're going to let them live, then let me die. Now, as we talked about before, the Ninevites were a wicked people. There's no hiding that, especially in the mind of the Jews. To be fair, let's just put it in context. Let's just say God, you know, comes to you and goes, okay, I'm going to bless you with ministry. You want to be used by me? I want you to get on a plane. You're going to go to Afghanistan, and you're going to preach to Al-Qaeda. And you're going to share the gospel with them. And in miraculous fashion, they repent and they decide to follow Jesus. Now, I'm thinking about, you know, Jonah. Jonah doesn't want to come back home, come back to Israel, you know, and hang out with his boys, and they're going to say, Jonah, where you been? Man, I got a story for you. Listen to this. You know the Ninevites, the people that we hate? Yeah, we know them. Yeah, you know all the wicked stuff they did? Okay, get this. God told me to go tell them that unless they repent, he's going to wipe them out. You know, and then the people are going to be like, yeah. You know, and I think about that. I think about times where I've watched like a newscast where, you know, somebody's messed with our country, and then we go in and we, you know, just kind of light up their whole world. And there's times where, like, I look at that and I just feel justified. I'm like, okay. Yeah, you kick the bull, but it's a different thing to drag him down by the horns. That's a whole different story, and I feel justified in that. And so these guys, they're probably going, okay, tell us how God lit up the sky there. Tell us what he did. He goes, get this, guys. They all got right with God. That's not the story he wants to tell. That's probably not even the story they want to hear. They want to hear. And I sat at that tent, and God lit it up. The Ninevites are no more. And I could sit in that crowd and say, praise God, justice was done. But instead, they repented. And I think we want God's grace for ourselves. We want God's grace for those that we love, but we want his wrath to pour down on our enemies. I think there's a little bit of in each of us. And think about that. Have you ever been angry at a time where God showed grace to somebody that you don't think deserves it? Which is pretty much anybody you've ever met that they don't deserve it. And here's kind of an odd thing. God actually agrees with Jonah on many points. And that's true in your life. Like, there are things in your life where God said, yeah, I agree with you on this. Let's go over a few quickly here. God agreed that Nineveh was a wicked city. This isn't questionable. God himself said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So they are wicked. It's like, Jonah, you are right. They are wicked. They deserve everything that you're thinking. Second, Jonah and God agree that God's really good at saving runners. People that run away from God. Got one right here, front row, raising his hand. He's good at saving runners, right? It's like one of his specialties. And Jonah agrees with God. He says deliverance belongs to the Lord. So they're, yep, these people are wicked. You were good at saving runners. Third, here's something else they agree on. They both agree that God, by his nature, is gracious and merciful. Jonah says that. Here's what he says. He says, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, and you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is who you are. And he says, in fact, I knew that, and that's why when you said to leave my country, he's like, that's why I went to Tarshish, because I knew that you were gracious. And so God's kind of like in this part of the story, he's like, let's just let the agreement show. We're in agreement in all of these things. And the reality is in your own life, there's plenty of things where you agree with God. Here's the key point where God and Jonah kind of part ways. And God's pretty clear at this. They don't have the same heart towards Nineveh. And sometimes that's where I can part ways with God, that I don't have the same heart that he has for my enemies. And what we need to understand is God is consistent. God is consistent with Nineveh. God is consistent with Jonah. God is loving. God is merciful. And God is gracious. God welcomes the repentance. Which is kind of strange. I mean, think about Jonah. I mean, this dude hit rock bottom. You know, you're at the bottom of the ocean. You've been thrown off a ship. You're at the bottom of the ocean. You're wrapped up in seaweed. And, hey, praise God, a fish swallowed me now. It doesn't get a whole lot worse. That's a really bad day. And God is going to give Jonah some reasons why he has pity on Nineveh. And really, he's going to say, let me give you a sign. Let me give you some signs that point to my love and to my grace. And in fact, Jonah, even in this moment, I'm not done with you. I want to reveal my heart because I want to transform your heart, Jonah. And that's, when it comes down to it, I want to be more like Jesus, right? I want him to transform my heart. And so he's going to give us five reasons that he has pity. We can call them factors. Here's five factors that we need to think about. The first one is the worm factor. Think about this. The Lord says to Jonah, he says, which is fascinating, that Jonah had pity on a plant, but not the city. And he's angry. He's angry because the worm attacked the plant and killed it. And God's painting a picture here. He didn't, you know, he's not up there like, hey, let's just mess with Jonah. Let's put a little plant here. Let's, you know, let's do this. He wants him to understand something. And what he's wanting him to understand is this worm factor. Or let's just call it what it is in our own lives, the Satan factor. Okay? Evil has come in and has eaten away the very fabric of society. And evil blinds us from seeing the truth. And here's what Jonah is missing in this. Jonah is missing the real enemy and the real battle. It's like you're missing this. And if we fight the wrong battle and the wrong enemy, the best you can do is win the wrong war at a great cost. got to fight the right enemy. And God is showing him a picture here. There's a second factor. There's the labor factor. God has caused Nineveh to grow. Okay? God has caused Nineveh to grow. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, that's an evil place. How could God cause Nineveh to grow? Well, so God says, he says, you pity the plant for which you did not labor nor make it grow. In other words, you have pity and you have no investment in this. He says, now, I have been working with these people. I've been working with them before you came. I have labored. I have an investment here. And we need to be reminded that cities, just like people, are not independent of God. Whether they appear to be righteous or not, they do not grow without God. Even cities that build monuments and they think they're building something to human independence, they aren't. As much as we can pretend that we're independent of God, we still need him for the very breath that is in our lungs. And the reality is, all people, all of humankind, we often use the very gifts that God has given us for evil ways, and we use them for our own glory. But we need to know this. There's not a single building in this city that was not built without God's gracious gift, without God's creativity that he has put within humankind. You think of the waterworks, the sewer system, even the smelly water that sometimes comes through your pipes. In Africa, they call that good water. The electricity, the traffic plan, even the roundabouts. I'm not sure about the roundabouts. But God, yeah, just go straight through. There you go. But all of this, what we see around us, is about people using God's gift, God's power, and God's wisdom. And I'm not saying we always use it for God's glory. But it comes from God. And we need to be reminded. The city out here, Wildwood, that's God's. That's God's. You know, and when I think of a church plant, I think we're reminding the forces of darkness. This is God's. This is God's. We're setting up a place here. Sumter County, Marion County, Lake County are God's. And God has labored over this. God has labored before any of us were born, or any of us lived in this city. God has labored over it. The city, the people within the city, they live, they move, they breathe, they have their being in God. And God is not going to be quick to destroy the work of his hands. God wants people to repent and to come to know his Son as Lord and Savior. So there's a third factor, the time factor. Nineveh's a very old city. It's talked about all the way back in Genesis. So this city has been around for a while. And God's, I mean, it's just funny. I just can see him just sitting down with Jonah and like, Jonah, let's do some math here, okay? You pity the plant, which you didn't labor for. You didn't do anything. And it came up overnight and died the next night. Really short time. And we're talking about an ancient city filled with people, and you don't care. You don't care. And I've been working for centuries to bring these people to me. People that have done evil things but are still created in my image and my likeness. They have the very thumbprint of God in their lives. And the work of God in Wildwood, Sumter, and Marion, Lake County started a long time ago. And here's the cool thing. God says, I'm doing a work here, and I want to invite you to join me. I want you to join me where I'm working. Your job, church, is to discover where the Holy Spirit of God is working in this community, and let's join him there. The fourth factor, moral factor. There's a moral weakness. There's a moral confusion within Nineveh. In verse 11, he says, "Should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left?" Basically, he's gone, there's a lot of stupid people here, Jonah, okay? They don't know their right from their left. They're making horrible choices. There's not a moral factor there. They're not turning to me and saying, "How does life work?" And to be honest, Jonah's not doing that at this moment either. He actually does know his right from his left, but he has purposely become ignorant. And just said, I'm going to live my life my way, and it's really not working out well from him. And this is what happens to societies when we abandon basic human value, basic moral code that God has given us. We forget things like, hey, you should not kill. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't abuse people. We forget those things. And God looks at this moral confusion. And yes, he says it's wrong, but he also has pity. He has pity. He says, "Jonah, I need somebody to go in there and tell them about me. Because they need a moral code in their lives." Five. Now, if I didn't get anybody on this, any of the other four, comfort factor. Okay? Jonah is more concerned about his own comfort than the city. And when you think of city, don't think of buildings. Think about people that dwell in that. Saying, "Jonah, you care more about your own comfort than people." You know what that is, Jonah? That's a heart problem. There's a disconnect between my heart and your heart. In other words, God's saying to Jonah, he's saying, "Jonah, you're concerned about all the wrong things. You're concerned whether or not people get what they deserve, or at least what you think they deserve, and you're concerned about making sure you don't get what you deserve." He says, you think you deserve comfort, Jonah, and you're mad because you're not getting what you want. And God in this moment is saying, "Jonah, let me tell you what I want. I'm concerned that nobody gets what they really deserve. I'm a God that wants all people to come to repentance." Right? That's his heart desire. That all people would come to repentance, that would know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and Jonah, and church, I've invited you to partner with me in that process. I've invited you to join with me. And Jonah, you're focused on the wrong stuff. And what I want you to do in this moment, Jonah, is to realign your heart with my heart. You've got some weapons on you, Jonah, and I want you to drop those weapons. Drop your weapons of hate, of revenge, self-righteousness, personal peace and comfort, and come follow me. Come follow me on the greatest rescue project of all time. Come join with me. And you know, this is where it gets personal. I'll be honest. I want people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But sometimes, and you could tell me if this is you, sometimes in the details of life, a little bit of Jonah in me shows up. See, I could be more concerned that my car gets repaired correctly than I care about the person that is repairing it. Okay? I mean, I still want my car repaired correctly, but sometimes I can care more about that car or whatever it is you're getting repaired than the person doing it. How many times have you been in a restaurant where you're more upset about the restaurant or the meal that you had that lasts a relatively short time, right? I mean, even if you hang out quite a while, you're there, what, an hour, two, three, top end? I could be more concerned about what kind of service I get than I am about the server. How's this person's day going? Do they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because that meal is going to last a short time. That person's going to last forever in one of a couple places. And am I concerned about that? And to be honest, sometimes in the details of life, and sometimes I'm like Jonah, and I get concerned about all the wrong things. So how about you? Is your heart in line with the heart of the Father? You know, we need to come back and say, "Oh Lord, change my heart. Make it more like your Son. Make me realize, Lord, that you love people more than anything. Because what I know, if I'm not careful, if we're not careful, we're going to become like Jonah. We could become like Jonah. We can choose comfort over compassion. And we can care what we care about over God, over God's concern. What is God's concern? What is God concerned about in your neighborhood? If you don't know, ask him. Say, okay, God, what's going on in my neighborhood and in my neighbor's life? What is it that you're concerned about? Because God is concerned about the people you work with, the people that you live with, people that you play golf with, even more so than the score that they have or what you have. He's concerned about your kids, the ball team that your kids play on, the person that serves you in the restaurant. God is concerned about the people we don't like. So what is God concerned about in your neighborhood? And then this last thought. Here's maturity as a follower of Christ. Maturity comes when I care about what God cares about. That's when we become mature. I mean, I love it when people memorize verses and they can quote scripture and they get better at going through the Bible. That's good stuff. Do that. Continue to do that. But maturity comes about when I put that into practice. And what I care about matches what God cares about. And the reality is, if I'm not willing to get uncomfortable, I'm going to become unfaithful. And so I need to walk in and say, okay, God, what is it that you want? And so this week, let's pray about that. God, help me see the world as you see it. And I know that sometimes that's going to be hard. Because you're going to look out and you're going to see people and you're going to say, man, they don't deserve that. They really don't. And God says, okay, we're in agreement. We are in agreement in that. But I want your heart to be like my heart. Think about the people that God has placed in your lives. What would it take for you to see those people as God sees them? To see what matters to God. God wants to take us. God wants to take us as a church to a place where we learn to care about the things of God the way he does. Let's pray and we'll have the worship team come on up. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for you. Thank you for this gift of repentance. This gift of repentance that you offer freely. You've offered it freely to us. You offer it freely to those around the world, even our enemies. And Lord God, may we lay our weapons down today and pick up your weapons. And again, Father, we're so thankful for your grace. Pray that you open our eyes and our ears to what you're doing in the world. And Father, may our hearts become more like your heart. We love you. We praise you. Thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ who defeated sin, who defeated death, that is resurrected. He is seated at your right hand. sin has been dealt with, Lord, may we go out and proclaim that good news. And it's in your Son's name that we pray this morning.